Welcome back to Sam and Trow Steelheader Podcast. I'm Lucas Holmgren, and I have good news, and I have good news. And thanks to Lamaglass Fishing Rods for sponsoring this episode. I got to put the Lamaglass XP bass rod to work today on smallmouth. It was phenomenal. It's been an incredibly late spawn, which is wild. And just found a bunch of males waiting to head into a lake, just stacked. Just waiting, and I think we landed 11, lost a bunch, and they weren't even stopping biting. This was like maybe a 25 square foot area. And so it, we ended up just, you know, feeling like we probably shouldn't sore mouth every fish there. Cause you know, it's May, and these fish that normally in April are already going to be, you know, post spawn many years, they're still pre-spawn at this time in certain areas, especially lakes with cold water outflow. So smallmouth is one of my absolute favorite fisheries, but being that this is the Salmon Trout Steelheader Podcast, let's talk about a little something that over the years has been very disappointing after seeing some phenomenal summer steelhead. And, you know, when I started really going hard for them in the tributaries in 2012, which about 12 years ago, you know, around that time, steelhead fishing was really good, winter and summer fishing, at least in my experience, relative, of course. But even people who have been fishing several decades would definitely say the 2000s were really phenomenal steelhead fishing until about 2015, 16, 17, perhaps. But 2023 was horrific. For instance, 2022, summer steelhead. Even though the numbers were low, if you got in the zone on the Columbia, there was still some amazing days. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure some of you did phenomenal last year, because even on a bad year, there's still tens of thousands of steelhead going by, you know, during these summer months. So there is still a lot of opportunity. But overall, the numbers of fish that pass Bonneville and especially the Willamette River, the numbers were absolutely dismal. And, you know, a lot of us wondered, is it ever going to come back, or how long is it going to take? This winter, we actually got to see some phenomenal winter steelhead runs. Again, there is always exceptions on certain rivers. On a bad year, one river can do better than previous years when overall fish counts were up. And, you know, of course, on the flip side, a great year, one river can do bad. And that would kind of indicate that it's more due to the in-stream conditions and perhaps not as much fry and smolt survival. Being that the, you know, if the overall trend is that most rivers are doing well for steelhead, that would indicate good ocean conditions and vice versa. So here's the big thing, is we had a very encouraging winter steelhead season, with certain rivers and the Willamette in particular experiencing some of the best runs in several years, and in fact in some places in a decade. This was a really encouraging sign, and for me, hoping, always looking for a sign that summer steelhead is going to get better someday for several years, finally I had a good winter steelhead run to point to. Now, of course, the high water flow of late April, early May can absolutely contribute to more fish moving upriver. And that can certainly be a factor, but when it is something as extreme as over 10 times as many by May 7th, there is a lot of indication that it is the start of an epic run. And on most great steelhead runs, I'm not going to say I've seen them forever, the runs where they say, oh, they're late this year, are not good runs. And if you have a truly amazing run, the early season just produces more fish, as well, of course, as the prime time, as well as the late season. There's just simply more fish, and we are seeing that now. I want to tell you guys a little bit of numbers here. I'm recording this May 11th, I believe. The Northern Lights have been around. That was phenomenal to see last night up in Yakult, Washington. Really cool. So pretty special to be able to see that. I think it's first time in 35 years. So being that it's May 11th, I like to look at Willamette Falls fish counts as an early indicator of steelhead runs. And the reason for this is the Willamette really, truly does have a perhaps the most consistent early run of summer steelhead in the lower Columbia. Now, there are certain tributaries that I enjoy that have surprisingly good summer steelhead fishing in May. And a lot of people don't even start until late May. But the majority of them, especially the bigger, colder rivers, you're really not even seeing much consistent fishing until Father's Day. And on a bad year, you might not even do that well until 4th of July. But this year, there is a massive increase over last year. So I'm going to give you a few numbers here. May 7th, 2023, last year, where I had my worst ratio of summer steelhead to hours. Still got some nice ones, thankful for it, but the amount of work per fish was much harder than even the previous year. Now in 2023, by May 7th, the Willamette Falls, which does designate the difference between winter and summer steelhead, which is especially important, the numbers were 262 by May 7th, 2023, or it might have been 260, over Willamette Falls. Now, if this year it was 400, perhaps we could say, well, it's a higher water year. A lot of the fish that wouldn't have been there, they moved up quicker, and that could certainly be the case. So by May 7th of this year, 2024, we have a total of 3,360 summer steelhead that have already passed the falls in the Willamette. Now, when the Willamette is that good, the lower Columbia is producing a lot of Willamette fish. Now, the Willamette is not the only tributary of the Columbia producing excellent summer steelhead numbers already. In fact, pretty much every river that gets summer steelhead is getting highly increased numbers this early, consistently, whereas many of these, you would only see a pilot fish or two until late May, if you were lucky. And of course, people will get them. There's exceptions always, I get that. But we are looking at overall numbers here, and this is ridiculous. If you have gotten frustrated with summer steelhead over the past couple years, I totally get it. In fact, last year, I think I only fished a tributaries a couple times, maybe, and mostly, you know, little 20-minute stops. And, you know, maybe four or five times. I never put in a full day. And then fished the Columbia maybe five times as well. And it was just a tough year, so I didn't put much time in. And this year, with the numbers this good and the conditions this good, I'm actually going to be targeting the tributaries more. The summer steelhead run in the Columbia and its tributaries is so incredibly diverse that summer steelhead, as they are defined, which is basically freshwater maturing steelhead as opposed to steelhead who have already developed mature egg and milt sacs by the time they hit the river, summer steelhead come in with anywhere from 7 to 12 months, 13 months perhaps, before spawning. They are so incredibly diverse. They occupy the entire Columbia anywhere that is accessible without dam blockages, and historically swam all the way up to the Canada tributaries. And they are especially built to survive in freshwater over summer. However, there is a lot of fish in the Columbia that are heading up to the upper tributaries, and in fact, a lot of the Southwest Washington tributaries that people call B runs, where you may have an absolutely chrome summer run coming in November. I've caught chrome hen summer steelhead that people saw the picture, thought they were a winter steelhead, but they are just the fall fish. These are primarily wild fish, and they are very late. But these early fish are mostly hatchery fish. I would love to see more of those spring wild steelhead starting to come back. And there is some positive news in that regard, but those have been hit heavily. But these hatchery runs that arrive in March, April, May, early June, and into July are some of the most physics-defying steelhead or fish of all time, as Bill Herzog said. They, of course, you still need a proper steelhead bait, but it's more about finding them and putting a, you know, one of the good baits or lures in front of them close enough and at the right speed. And then generally, they will move many feet to intercept a lure. Summer steelhead are truly some of the most aggressive fish, mostly probably due to temperatures. Of course, winter steelhead can be incredibly aggressive as well. But I would have to say, and I asked Nick Amato and Bill Herzog, and they both said summer steelhead is the absolute best of all time. And I have to agree. They are something else, and it's been so disappointing these last couple years to just not have very many of them. And, you know, people who are diligently working hard and, you know, getting a couple fish, maybe having some good days. But from, you know, a lot of guides have not even guided summer steelhead the last several years, whereas they used to spend several months doing it. So in conclusion, every sign, I was wondering, you know, in April, is this just a little fluke? They push in and then it's going to be super slow until middle of June. It is not. It is only built upon itself, which leads me to believe and to predict, I would say, what it looks like is this should be the best summer steelhead run since probably 2014, 2015, and has the potential to be even greater depending on the upriver stocks and how they do. But we have some incredible things happening in the lower Columbia, which gets the earliest summers. The hatchery fish are showing up, and there's wild showing up, and every indication is that you should be summer steelhead fishing this year. You're going to be rewarded if you work for it. My favorite techniques is typically coon shrimp under a float with a split shot on the leader. I do like doing jig and grocery store prawn under a float. Of course, the almighty blue fox is excellent. And I do fish little Cleos a lot. However, I will size down to a 1/3 ounce and even in some case a 1/4 ounce. Unless it's very high, heavy flows, in which I'll go with a 2/5. But between spinners and bait and jigs, if a fish doesn't eat one of those three things, they're either not there or they're not going to bite anything. That's the amazing thing about early summer steelhead. You get out, you find them, you throw one or two great steelhead proven baits, the likelihood is way higher than a winter steelhead or a summer steelhead that's been in the river for several months. Now, if you guys are getting out there for steelhead, I would highly recommend you go to lamaglass.com and take a look at three specific models that I'm going to recommend that I have fished for winter and summer steelhead on. First of all is going to be the entry level. However, at the same time, this is a fully serious rod that I still use these. They're not a beginner rod by any means, but for Lamaglass, it's the entry level on price point. And what I really like is that the X11 series has been updated with a beautiful gloss graphite gray look. They have new guides, new reel seats, and I do believe that the choices that they made on guides and reel seats were an excellent upgrade that is more durable, more dependable. These X11s have actually been workhorses, and I see them everywhere. They've got, you know, so many models that will work, but for me, I really enjoy the 9'6", 8-12. So it's called the LX96MS for the spinning version, and the LX96MC, I believe, for the casting version. Now, this rod is a medium action, but it's light enough to throw a really light finesse bobber. You could throw a number 3 blue fox, throw a number 4 blue fox, a 2/5 ounce spoon. You could be throwing drift gear. It's got nice sensitivity. It's got the length, nice moderate bend on it. It is an excellent steelheader tool that is at the entry-level price point. But if you are able to, another option, and guides especially like these, is, you know, people who are really rough on their gear, but want a beautiful looking steelhead rod with great action, the Redline to me is an absolute workhorse. And the 9'4", 8-12, in my opinion, is the best one. A nice fast action when you're fishing coon shrimp and that bobber goes down, instant hook set, a lot of backbone. I fought Chinook and Coho on this thing. It says 8-12. I think it should say 10-15, but at the same time, it can still throw lighter baits. Now, if you are able to, the G1000 Pro Series is based off of the Certified Pro and G1000 from Lamaglass. And I was there at the time when those rods and that series was put together, working with Tom Posey and Scott Harris. And we brought a bunch of proven models with the updated G1000 Pro specs and graphite. And recently, there was another update to those rods with just a little change to the look and feel of the handles. Same blanks, same performance. And these rods are phenomenal. And the one that I would get, now this is not necessarily a summer steelhead rod. In that series, if you do want a straight up nice light float side drift and spinner rod, just go get the GP96LS. But if you want one rod that you can fish, summer steelhead, winter steelhead, coho, chum, pinks, chinook even, and you want it in either casting or spinning, and you want the perfect spoon rod, a fantastic bobber dogging rod, a great float rod, sensitive enough to drift fish with, light enough, and with the proper tip action to actually be able to cast like lighter spinners, like a number three, for instance. I definitely wouldn't go down to a number two. And of course, the lighter you go, ideally not a super wide line diameter. But this is a rod that truly does it all. The blanks are made in the USA and phenomenal. The finish rods are incredible. G1000 Pro, check out the GP10MS for spinning and GP10MC forecasting. And yes, I might be biased on this one. This is a rod where I brought the XMG10MC to Gary and Bob at the Lamaglass factory and asked them if they might be able to recreate this in the G1000 Pro series, but with much more durability. And they did a phenomenal job. I wouldn't say it's quite as surgically sensitive as the XMG, but really no rod is. But this rod has the sensitivity you need, as well as durability. Because for me, even though I love those surgical, ultra-thin graphite rods, I do not have the ability to treat them like a classic car in a garage. I'm out and about, getting out in boats, going in and out of my car. That's what I love about the G1000 Pro Series. They workhorses that feel like a top-end performing rod, which they are, but they also nailed the durability, and that's big for me. So, with that said, those are some summer steelhead rod recommendations, and, you know, there's so many more in the Lamaglass catalog that I could go into, but, you know, some of these that you go into, they're going to be more specialized to certain techniques and not as much to others. So these ones that I recommended, the X11 LX96MC or MS, and the Redline HS94MS or MC, as well as that GP10MC and MS that I told you about. Great rods, any one of them, you're going to be just fine on pretty much any steelhead technique. So with the strength of the summer steelhead run coming, every single podcast listener that I meet on the river, what I'm finding is that most of the people listening to this podcast are already usually really into it and often having very productive seasons, you know, much more productive than me often. And, but I'm sure you have friends that have kind of stopped fishing for steelhead as much. And, you know, it might be a good time to get them back out for summer steelhead, have a little fun. And it just quite possibly could be the best year you've ever had for summer steelhead. And, you know, maybe it's time I actually relaxed a little bit and went fishing more. So I'm going to be out there. I'll keep you guys updated. Best of luck. Oh, and by the way, the bass fishing in the Columbia is ridiculous right now. So go get them.